It's Food Friday, and we've got a cooking star with us to share some great recipes and cooking advice. Jack Bishop is the editorial director at America's Test Kitchen. They've just released a massive new book. It's called The New Family Cookbook. And Jack's coming to Wisconsin later this month. He'll be in Milwaukee on Thursday, October 23rd for an event at Boswell Books at 7 p.m. and in Kohler on Friday, October 24th for the Kohler Weekend.
And speaking of food, if you pledge any amount this hour, ask for your recipe thank you gift. We've got six great recipes from Food Friday guests to share with you, from apple bacon coffee cake to oven roasted pumpkin. Yours with a pledge of any amount now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jack Bishop joins us now. Jack, welcome to the show.
Thank you. How are you guys doing today?
Doing pretty well, thanks. Well, this new family cookbook, it updates one of the flagships of the America's Test Kitchen line. What kinds of things did you want to bring up to date?
First of all, you know, we keep on experimenting in the test kitchen. We have 40 people working in a 2,500-square-foot kitchen who are cooking all day, every day. And this book was first published almost a decade ago. And I'd like to think we've learned something in the last decade from at least we've eaten a lot of food. And we wanted to share all of those new tips and secrets. Also, cooking has changed. A lot more vegetables, a lot more vegetarian dishes, a lot more international food. I think as a nation, we are becoming more adventurous in the kitchen, and we wanted the book to really reflect that as well.
Now, among the many hats you wear, you are the tasting lab expert for America's Test Kitchen. How do you know if what you're tasting is ready to go, ready to put into print?
Well, the secret is to get consensus with a large panel. And so, you know, if you and I tasted something, I might love it and you might hate it, or vice versa. And I'm not sure what you learn from that other than you learn what you like and I learn what I like. But if you get 25 people to taste, let's say, 8 brands of chocolate, and one brand is a consistent favorite with the large majority of people who are tasting, then that's a pretty solid recommendation you can make to somebody else by saying a tasting panel with 25 experts chose this as their top-rated chocolate. And that's really the power of what we do. It isn't so much one person saying, you know, I love this brand of chocolate. It's a blind taste test, all the brands. We not only taste things right out of the package, but we cook with them, because that's really what matters. When you make brownies with that chocolate, how good are the brownies? And then make those recommendations to our fans.
Even with, you know, a crop of 40 seasoned, I'm assuming, very good cooks, do you still taste some bombs along with all the other delicious stuff that you taste?
Surprising amount. I mean, now we purposely make some mistakes. You know, we think, well, what's going to happen to somebody when they take our recipe? What are the things they're likely going to try at home? Because we know that people don't always follow recipes. And so I would, and sometimes, you know, we think it's going to be a problem and it's not. So we'll make a recipe that calls for butter and we'll put oil in it and see how it comes out. Or we'll use skim milk rather than whole milk. And that's often the kind of thing we'll write about in our recipes. And we'll say, okay, here are the things you're okay to change. And these are the things you absolutely, please, 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 do not change these details of the recipe.
And you start pretty much every recipe with an explanation of, quote, why this recipe works. Why is that important? Why is that helpful to the home cook?
I think that the number one thing we're trying to do is to teach people to be better cooks. And sure, giving them a recipe that is successful is a good start. But I think what we really want to do is get people to have a deeper understanding of cooking. You know, we've sort of lost a lot of information in the last generation or two, as a lot of people really sort of didn't grow up in a home where there was a lot of cooking. And so we feel like it's our job not only to provide good information about recipes, but to really explain techniques so that you can become a better cook, whether or not you're using one of our recipes.
Now, this is billed as a family cookbook. What does it take to make a really great family recipe?
Well, first of all, it shouldn't be too complicated. You know, most family cooking by definition is supposed to be relatively straightforward. You know, this is not restaurant cooking with 7 components on the plate and 2 days of cooking. This is solid, all-American cooking. You know, and I think you want something that's appealing to everyone. And so, you know, there's a lot of American classics, you know, meatloaf, mashed potato, apple pie, brownies. It's hard to go wrong with those things. But, you know, families are changing, and so they also want roast squash recipes or things to do with fish, interesting ways to prepare broccoli. And so we really tried to think about all the different things you do during the course of the week or during the course of the year. and put all that into one big book with, I think, 1,300 recipes in total.
And Jack, I understand one of your talks in Wisconsin will be on the subject, a very timely subject, of comfort foods. What does comfort food mean to you?
Comfort food means, first of all, that it's utterly delicious. You know, it has to be something that's super satisfying. And so often that's something a little creamy, something with some richness to it. It can be something that has some nostalgia, you know, go back to your childhood. But it doesn't need to be utterly straightforward. It can be an update of a dish. You know, sometimes something comforting that you see in a slightly new way is really interesting. And so it's a mix of stews, macaroni and cheese, baked ziti. That kind of stuff is obviously really, really comforting, sort of classic American desserts. You know, what's more comforting than a warm chocolate chip cookie after a hard day at work or a hard day at school?
Can you give us an example of one that maybe you'll be cooking in Kohlera, a great comfort food recipe, maybe that's got a new twist or a secret that you found out at America's Test Kitchen?
Yeah, I think a great example, one we're doing up in Kohlera in a couple of weeks, is chicken stew. You know, you say stew and everybody thinks beef stew. Because they're like, oh, chicken, it's not going to have that much flavor, is it? And we re-engineered a classic American stew to build a tremendous amount of chicken flavor into the dish. And so first thing is to use thigh meat. Thigh meat is the best part of the bird when it comes to stewing. White meat is great for lots of things, but it really doesn't withstand, you know, hours and hours of braising time. We looked for ingredients that could ramp up the flavor. So we kind of threw some chicken wings, which are really fairly inexpensive, to build a quick broth. Add some things that have meaty notes. We love to use tomato paste and soy sauce in the test kitchen because they make everything taste more savory and more delicious. And it's a really great all-American recipe. It's a little lighter, which I think people look, or, you know, we want more things to do with chicken. But it's utterly comforting, and you can serve it over noodles or over mashed potatoes, and it is a stew that everyone will love.
You, Jack, solved the problem with my last chicken stew. It was all right. It was boneless, skinless chicken breast. That's where I went wrong, huh?
Yeah, you know, they're great for sautéing, but, you know, a stew means that it's got to simmer for a significant period of time, and you really need some something with some fat in it. That's why, you know, chuck meat from the beef shoulder is the classic choice for beef stew. And if you're going to make a chicken stew, you really want to use, I think the chicken thighs are the perfect choice for that dish.
Right now we're talking with Jack Bishop of America's Test Kitchen. Their latest project is the new family cookbook.
And you can call in with your cooking questions or your favorite comfort food, especially now that fall is well and truly here. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email talk@wpr.org.
This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Farah. Jack Bishop is with us. He's editorial director at America's Test Kitchen. We're talking about, among other things, the new family cookbook. That's their new version of their really big, intensive cookbook.
And Jack, I know one of the recipes in there might not be a comfort food for everybody, but it is intriguing and it's gotten some attention. Cuban rice and beans. Can you tell us anything about that one?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this is the great thing about having almost 900 pages in a book, is that you can put everyone's comfort food in here, and that certainly for people from Cuba or from the Caribbean, you know, you say comfort food and most of them will think rice and beans. And, you know, I love this recipe because it's a perfect example of why we wanted to go back and do the book over again and update it, because we wanted to be able to include recipes like this. And there's so much confusion, especially about the best way to, you know, to cook beans. People get so confused about canned versus dried. You know, should they be soaking them? And we explain all of that. And you know, we really love to actually brine beans, believe it or not, in the test kitchen.
Brine beans. Wait, how do you brine things again? You soak it in some flavored liquid?
Salt water.
Salt water.
You know, it's a classic preparation for chicken or for turkey to make it juicier. So a brine just means it always has salt. It can have sugar, it can have garlic and other flavors, but the key ingredient is the salt. And in this case, what the salt does is it prevents the beans from bursting. And so that those skins become more elastic, the bean can expand as it cooks, but it doesn't burst. And so you don't get that starchiness you can get if you cook a pot of dried beans and the skins all rupture, then you get a very sort of pasty, sticky mess. And so this prevents that simply by soaking them like you normally would, but adding some salt to that soaking liquid.
And we've got a link to that Cuban rice and beans recipe over at the Central Time Facebook page. Well, one thing that I like about the cookbook, Jack, is that you kind of take nothing for granted and start at square one with things like equipment and basic techniques. What is a piece of a kitchen equipment that we shouldn't go without in our kitchen?
Well, you know, there's the obvious stuff, like you need a really good chef's knife and you need a really good cutting board, but I think it's sometimes the less obvious stuff that can really make your life easier in the kitchen. The difference between a good vegetable peeler and a bad vegetable peeler is the difference between a happy Thanksgiving and a not-so-happy Thanksgiving. You think about apples and potatoes, and if you've got a crowd coming like I always do, it means you've got an awful lot of peeling ahead of you. And so you want two things, a super sharp blade and a comfortable handle, because if you're going to do 10 pounds of potatoes and apples, you want that handle to be really comfortable. And so that's the kind of thing we'll test. I think we tested 25 different brands of vegetable peelers before we came up with the brand that we thought had the ideal combination of what you want in your vegetable peeler.
Wow. Well, what is the brand?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, it is a Y-shaped peeler. By a company called Kuhn Rikon, K-U-H-N Rikon, R-I-K-O-N. And it's sort of shaped like a Y, and the blade spans across the top of it. And it's super sharp, and things don't get stuck in it because the blade is not so close to the peeler. And you've seen them in stores. This peeler costs $3.50. It's not an expensive peeler. But it is better than that metal peeler with the metal handle that my mother had. And let me tell you, it was not that sharp and it wasn't that comfortable.
Well, who knew? I guess you guys knew, which is why you're here. Well, I want to ask you a little bit about meat and potatoes in terms of comfort food, because, you know, traditional American cooking is certainly the last couple of decades. That's what most people's minds go to when it goes to comfort food. Is there a case to be made that vegetarian food and veggies are comfort food, too?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very subjective thing, is that anything can be comforting, first of all, if it's something you like, and second of all, if it's well-made. And so, you know, in my house at home, we probably eat vegetarian 4 or 5 nights a week. And there are things like bean dishes. We make a black bean, brown rice bowl that my kids consider that comfort food because I've made it so many times. The other thing my kids would consider comfort food is pork tostadas. When it's a birthday or something special, that's the food they want. And so, you know, I think you make your own traditions within your family about what is family food and what is comfort food. And part of it is finding dishes you love and making them over and over again.
You mentioned earlier that the new version of the Family Cookbook has more focus on vegetables and vegetarian cooking, given, you know, the rise in popularity. What's something that you're excited about that is new in the cookbook?
Well, I think just the A to Z vegetable section is really exciting because I think, you know, I get asked all the time by people when I meet them, you know, I'm looking for new ways or interesting ways to cook familiar vegetables. And so, you know, if you've never roasted broccoli in the oven and you think, you know, broccoli has to be steamed or boiled, roasted broccoli is a revelation. Even picky children, and I have some of them living in my house, will love it because, you know, it gets sweeter. Frankly, any vegetable is better roasted than boiled, as far as I'm concerned, because you're adding flavor through the browning, as opposed to when you're boiling it, you're not adding a whole lot of flavor. So roasted broccoli, roasted cauliflower, even roasted Brussels sprouts. I know they're coming up for Thanksgiving. It's the best way to cook them.
Now, since we're on this comfort food focus, personally, Jack, I mean, you must taste hundreds of recipes a year, but what to you really is a comfort food? You've had a rotten day, it's raining outside, your tire got a flat. What do you want to eat?
I grew up with an Italian-American grandmother, and so I want pasta. And one of my favorite recipes the Test Kitchen has developed is something that my grandmother used to make that was frankly too complicated for me to want to make, which is baked manicotti.
Mm.
You know, you fill those pasta tubes with a ricotta and herb filling. And we discovered that we could make this dish without that fussy filling process by using no-boil lasagna noodles. So we soak the noodles in a little hot water for 5 minutes, and then we can line them with that ricotta filling, and we roll them up. We're basically creating manicotti shells, but we don't need a pastry bag to be piping the filling into boiled shells, which is how you make the dish traditionally. And then roll them up, put them in a tomato sauce in a casserole dish. You put, it's got basil and garlic and tomatoes. It's just absolute comfort food as far as I'm concerned.
That sounds fantastic. Jack, thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, guys.
That's Jack Bishop. He's editorial director at America's Test Kitchen. The new book from them is The New Family Cookbook.
Jack will be in Milwaukee on Thursday, October 23rd for an event at Boswell Books at 7 o'clock in the evening, and in Kohler on Friday, October 24th for the Kohler weekend events.